we continue our series from the cradle to the crown. That's Jesus, right? He came, that baby in a manger. Eternal God, he had always existed before that, created the world, everything we see and we know. But he came and he took on flesh, and that baby in a manger would go to the cross and die for our sins, be risen from the dead, so that whosoever will call upon his name and surrender to him as king, a crown, right, king of their life, will be forgiven and made right with God. And Christmas is that, hey, he came, but he is coming, right? It's past tense fulfillment, but it's also future consummation. Jesus is coming again to set up his kingdom here, and it's only those, again, who have surrendered to him as king now that will enjoy the peace and the joy and the grace of God's kingdom. And so, do you know Christ this Christmas season? Have you surrendered to him as king of your life? If not, today we invite you to do just that. Today we're in Isaiah chapter 40. We're walking through the book of Isaiah, looking at selected prophetic passages. And so I invite you, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at verses 27 through 31. As we're turning there, I do want to give a quick word of just announcement for us. Reminder, Christmas Eve, 4 p.m., Christmas Day, 11 a.m., same service both times. Candles, carols, communion, all the good stuff at Christmas. We're going to come together. We're going to worship. So you plan to be with us for one of those two services. 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve next Saturday, 11 a.m., one service only next Sunday morning. Now, have you seen there's snow in the forecast? Anybody notice that? Have you seen that? So we are tracking that as a staff. So we're going to go ahead and shoot some messages ahead of time this week. If for some reason we're snowed out, make sure to check our website, Facebook. If you are in our database, you'll get a direct text from us. App notification, if you haven't downloaded the Living Hope app, just go in the App Store or your Android store there and look up Living Hope Clarksville. Download the app and you'll get a notification there as well. We'll push all that out to you, but you'll know that as soon as we find out what's going on with snow, okay? That way you can make plans, even if it's in your living room. We're going to worship together, amen? We can turn the TV on or computer on and we can all worship together, whether we have snow or not. All we need is about a dusting, right? And Clarksville shuts down. Can I get a witness on that? Like everything stops, okay? So we're going to be prepared for that. So just so you know, be looking for that if we get snow. Isaiah chapter 40 today, we've already sang about it. Strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, famous passage here in the Old Testament where Isaiah says that those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength, will renew their strength, will rise up, mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not get faint. So today we're talking about waiting upon the Lord. Waiting. Christmas is a lot about waiting, isn't it? Waiting in line at the mall. How many of you have done that already? Waiting in line at the mall or at the store to buy gifts. At a store to buy gifts. Yeah, so waiting in line. Yesterday we were in Marshall's picking up some Christmas gifts, and the line was almost to the back of the store, right? Just waiting in line to buy those gifts. Waiting in traffic. I mean, isn't that your favorite, right, at Christmas time? Waiting in traffic. Waiting for a table at the restaurant. Waiting in line at the grocery store to buy all those all the food items that you need to cook that great Christmas meal for your family and your friends. So waiting for the kids, right? Kiddos in the room. The waiting is maddening, isn't it? I just want to get there. I just want to open the presents and do the thing and be with all my family. And so Christmas is a lot about waiting. But in our society, waiting, patience, that's the antithesis of our culture, isn't it? The antithesis of our culture. We don't like to wait. We love our fast food, don't we? We love our fast food. We want fast internet. I mean, if it's taking a minute to load, we're frustrated, right? How many of you remember dial-up? You remember the days of dial-up? Come on, somebody. And you can still hear the phone. You remember that? Man, kids that are in college here, if I got college students here, man, you got it made, okay? Y'all have absolutely got it made. I mean, we had dial-up internet. Some of you didn't have internet at all, right? So you had to do it all by hand, turn this stuff in. I mean, you got it made in today's day and time. Dial-up internet. We love our fast internet. We want everything now, don't we? We are in an instant gratification, instant communication, instant information world. In fact, something can happen on the other side of the world, and literally in a lot of instances within possibly 10 to 15 minutes, we're getting a notification through an app of some kind on our phone telling us about this thing that has happened on the other side of the world. In fact, for news agencies today, really, it's not about truth anymore. It's about timing, isn't it? They'll clean up the backside. It's more about being the first one to get the information out. It's a waiting. Waiting is the antithesis of our culture. I would add to that, it's the antithesis or the opposite of our old flesh, isn't it? We want what we want right now. The good news today is that you can get saved today, right now. Isn't that good news? Because of what Jesus did, because of Christmas and what it means. You can call on the name of Jesus right now and be forgiven of your sins, made right with God, and receive the Holy Spirit, the joy and the peace of God, God living in your heart. But a deep walk with God is not going to happen right now. It takes time, doesn't it? And so many people, listen to me, maybe this is you this Christmas season, whether you're sitting in the room or you're watching online. So many of us want God to answer all of our prayers now. We want God to take away all of our problems right now, to give us perfect health right now, to give us that financial provision we need right now, to fix this broken relationship. Right now, I mean, there's so much that we want in this old selfish part of us, that selfish, fleshly, human, sinful nature part of us. We want God to do it all now. Well, that's not the way the Christian life works. The Christian life is all about waiting, isn't it? It's all about waiting upon God, trusting in Him, resting in His promises, trusting in what He has said. And when you think about Christmas, it's all about waiting, isn't it? Jesus came, but we're waiting. I mean, we're looking for the fulfillment of God's promises, for Jesus to come and reign as King forever, physically, bodily on this earth. And so life, all of life for the child of God is waiting, isn't it? Our entire life is lived in the middle. And so we have to learn to be content in that place, whether God answers the prayers right now or the desires that I want right now, whether He fixes all the problems right now or gives me health right now or meets that financial provision or fixes that relationship, whether He does all that right now or not, He is still good, isn't He, church? Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen on that today? He's still good. He's God. And ultimately, He is the desire of our soul. Ultimately, He's the one we're really longing for. It's not the temporal things we need. It's His eternal touch in our life. Ray Ortland, well-known pastor and author, says this. He writes and says, there is an in-betweenness to this life. God gives us great promises in the gospel, but then He calls for us to wait for their fulfillment. He doesn't give us everything right away. He calls us to wait. And sometimes it can seem impossible to endure, can't it? Because we're stuck in the now. And what we're stuck in right now can be the opposite, isn't it, at times, of God's promises, of His ultimate fulfillment. Living in between is not easy. God's greatest gift, listen to this, is not always what we think. God's greatest gift is Himself, isn't it? That's the gift. It's Jesus. It's Him. It's not the temporal things that we long for and all the fixes and all the solutions. Jesus is the desire of our heart. And so waiting, that begs a question too, doesn't it? What does it mean to wait upon God? Some people have this idea that waiting upon God means doing nothing at all. Just sit there until I get some kind of email from heaven, or God parts the skies and just writes it in the sky by His own, eternal, powerful hand. Well, that's not what waiting upon the Lord means. Waiting and hope go hand in hand, don't they? And so waiting is based on our hope in Christ and His eternal kingdom, which is coming. But also waiting is not passive, It's active. While I'm waiting upon that fulfillment, that answered prayer, I'm waiting upon that specific answer and direction for life. While I'm waiting upon Him, I should be active doing what God's will is based upon what I see in His Word, right? The great G. Campbell Morgan once said this, waiting for God's not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God first means activity under command. Second, it means readiness for any new command that may come. And then thirdly, it's the ability to do nothing, not to get ahead of God until that command is given. It's been said like this, I don't want to lag behind God, right? But I don't want to get ahead of Him either. I just want to walk right in step with the Lord. And waiting upon Him, that's the idea. Waiting upon the Lord's like a timeout in football. How many football fans have I got in the room today? Football fans. Yeah. We're big football fans in our house too. And so waiting upon the Lord's like a timeout in football. Now what do you mean by that? Well, a timeout in a football game is for productivity reasons. It's for the purpose of getting the right play in on offense or defense so that you can more effectively play the game. That's what waiting upon God is. In the Christian life, we're doing the game of life, if you will. We need those constant timeouts to go back and say, okay, God, speak to me on this. Guide me in this. It's yielding to Him, letting Him go before us. And so, and by the way, without the game, come on somebody, if there's no games, giving, serving, and inviting, that outward gospel kingdom movement, if we're not playing the game of God's kingdom ministry, then the timeouts are of no value. Are you listening? Doesn't matter how much I open God's word and I pray if I'm never, if I don't apply it to life and begin to live it out. And so that's what waiting upon God is. In Isaiah chapter 40 here, we have the beginning of a whole new emphasis in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 is where he flips the script. In chapters 1 through 39, he's been talking about judgment that is coming and that they were experiencing in the moment. Well, now in chapter 40 through chapter 66, the rest of this book is all some of the most optimistic, inspiring verses in all of the Bible. And so let's read together, waiting upon the Lord, Isaiah chapter 40, and specifically here, why should we wait? Why should we wait upon Him? Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even young people shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Today, Father God, give us your strength. Holy Spirit of God, come and strengthen us. Strengthen us by your grace today, O God. And fill us with the fruit of your righteousness this Christmas season. Jesus, it is in your powerful, matchless name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. For the few moments that we have left together this morning, I want to give you two reasons why we wait upon God that are based upon this passage. Okay? Reason number one. You ready? If you're ready, say amen. Come on, church. Reason number one. Why should I wait on God? Because Christ is greater than my circumstance. Isn't that right? Come on, church. He is greater than whatever circumstances are happening around me. And specifically for Israel here, remember the context. They are experiencing great difficulty and they are actually headed into judgment. Assyrian invasion and then Babylonian captivity is coming to Israel. And he's already talked about that for 39 chapters. So it's a very difficult set of circumstances. And so in the midst of that, He tells them, just wait upon me, trust in me. Better days are ahead. That's what Christmas is all about, right? The best is yet to come. And so that question here, they're in the struggle. And just like us, they're asking this question, God, where are you at in this? God, I mean, do you see the injustice that we're going through? Do you see the oppression that's coming against your people? Do you see and know and understand what we're going through today? Do you ever have those seasons in life where you feel like, man, you're knocking on the door of heaven and nobody's answering? You ever had those seasons? We all do, don't we? Where you're crying out to God and you're like, God, do you not see all this wrong that's coming against me or my family, or all this wrong that's going on in society or in the world or in culture? I mean, God, why are you allowing all this to happen? Why aren't you intervening in this? Why are you waiting to answer this prayer? Why are you not fixing this problem? Why are you not repairing this relationship and destroying this work of the devil in and around my life and my family's life? God, what are you doing here? And it's in the midst of those struggles that he says here, no, wait upon me, trust in me here. Isaiah, inspired of God, says, no, trust and know that I am with you. Reminds me of the story of the disciples. You remember that story of the disciples when they were on the Sea of Galilee? They were going to the other side and all of a sudden a big storm rose up on the sea. It says that Jesus was with them in the boat. By the way, that's the key. Come on, somebody. I'd rather have Jesus with me in the storm than be on the shore without him. Come on, somebody. And so Jesus is asleep in the cabin of the boat, and the waves, man, are crashing over that boat, so much so that the disciples, some of them career fishermen, they've seen storms before, but these men are afraid for their lives. They think that these waves, the wind, the waves are going to capsize the boat and they're going to die there. And so one of the disciples goes down into the cabin of the boat and says, hey, Jesus, listen, why are you asleep down here? Do you not see what we're going through? Do you not care that we are about to drown? And I can just see it in my mind's eye. Jesus, you know, kind of sits up and rubs his eyes, and that human part of himself rubs his eyes and a big yawn, you know, and he kind of stretches a minute. And the waves are just crashing, the wind's blowing, and Jesus just kind of trots up on that deck and kind of clears his throat like you have to do when you get up in the morning. Kind of clears his throat and he says, what? Peace, be still. And scripture tells us that that wind laid down and those waves, man, that water became like glass. And it says the disciples asked that question. They said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And listen, children of God, we don't serve a reluctant, reticent, absent God. Can I get an amen on that today? He is not reluctant. He is not reticent. He is not absent. He is very much aware of your situation and mine. And all he has to do is speak a word and peace will come over that situation. So trust in him. He may be asleep in the boat, so to speak, or it may feel like he's not there, but he is. And he knows what's going on in our lives. Listen to me. We've got two options in life. Either we can look at God through our circumstances, or we can look at our circumstances through God. Let me say that again. Two choices in life. We can either look at God through our circumstances with anxiety and worry and fear, or we can look at our circumstances through the lens of God, his word and prayer and waiting upon him. And in fact, listen, we should look up and look down before we look around. You ever heard that before? Look up, look down before you look around. Look up in prayer and praise. Look down into the word of God. Now you're ready to look around. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Now I'm ready to look around. Look up and look down before you look around. When I look up in prayer and praise and I look down into the word of God, now my perspective completely changes. I can see with eyes of faith. And so my circumstances now, I see them in the right way. And so Isaiah's telling them here, man, look up. Look up to God. Look down into the law of God and the word of God. Remember his faithfulness. And he tells us about some characteristics of God, specifically how he's bigger than our circumstances. He says, first of all, he's eternal God. He says here he's everlasting. That means he had no beginning. He will have no end. He is the God of antiquity, the ancient of days. And he is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. You know what that means? Listen closely, church. He's the only person that knows your tomorrow today. Let me say that again, because we need that. You need to hear that today. Listen, he's the only one who knows our tomorrow today. And so trust him. Wait upon him, right? He is eternal. Secondly, he says here, he is the creator of the ends of the earth. So creator, he is the maker, the manufacturer, the designer of all things. And church, let me ask you a question. Who knows better what to do than the maker? Who knows better how we should live life and what choices we should make and what direction we should go than the one who designed us? Obviously, he's the one who knows best. So trust him. Not only that, creation, don't forget. In creation, what did Jesus do? He made everything out of what, church? Nothing. Realize that? He spoke it all into existence. We are not evolutionists. We're creationists. We believe in Jesus. I mean, that's what the Bible says. It says he spoke and everything came to be. And so he made everything out of nothing. Oh, this is good. Listen closely today. He's the only one that can make something out of nothing in your life. That's why we wait upon him. Right now, you may look around and your life may feel like a big nothing. You ever had those seasons? Come on, testify today. I mean, everything's falling apart. It's a big nothing. He's the only one who can make something out of nothing. Man, that's good news. That's why we wait upon him, right? Creator, he's eternal. We also see here he's omnipresent. That means he's in every place. He says here he's the creator of the ends of the earth. You ever said this before? Man, this is a God-forsaken place. You ever said that before? Come on now, I see some smiles. You got to get with me. If y'all don't start amening me, I'm going to go amen myself from the back of the room today. I know it's Christmas and y'all wore out and all that stuff. Come on, man. We're in here worshiping. Hey, this is a God-forsaken place. You ever said that about somewhere you worked or a place you used to live or things like that? You know what God's omnipresence means? Listen to me. There are no God-forsaken places other than hell. That's the only God-forsaken place. And in fact, the place you're in may very well be a place God has put you in for this season to change you, to transform you. So often we want to get something out of God when he's trying to get something out of us. Can I get an amen on that today? Come on now. So often we want to get something out of God when he's trying to get something out of us. He's in the place you're in, that job, that living situation, that place. Listen, he's there. So we can trust him. He's omnipresent. He also is omnipotent. He's all powerful. It says here, he is the Lord, the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. And it says that he is awesome. He does not faint or grow weary. Literally what that means in the original language is that it is not a struggle for Jesus to fix your life and mine and run the universe. It's not even a struggle. It's not even hard. He doesn't sweat a drop when he's running the universe and acting in our lives at the same time. There has never been an anxious thought in the heart of God. Isn't that good news today? He is not anxious about the stuff you're anxious about today. Our crises do not constitute emergencies in heaven. He is on his throne. I don't care what you're walking through today. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's greater. He's more awesome. So trust him. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, but also we see here he's omniscient. That means he is all-knowing. His understanding is unsearchable. The words in the original language of the word there for unsearchable literally means beyond exploration. We could search the scriptures and pray and talk to our God and receive of him and him reveal himself to us. We're going to do that for all of eternity. Yet we will never even touch the hem of the garment of all that he is and all that he knows and all the wisdom that he has. In fact, listen to me, wisdom is not a trait that God possesses. He is the very embodiment of wisdom. Jesus is. He's the Logos, John chapter 1, the word, Logos in the original language, was the very pursuit of the philosophers of that day. What it's saying is the very pursuit of all wisdom and knowledge and everything our soul longs for is found in Christ. And so today, listen, you need to hear this, and I need to hear it too, all of us. God is bigger than whatever you're walking through. That's what Christmas means. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is the blessing. He is the blessing. So trust Him there. Whatever place you're in, whatever circumstances you're walking through, we can trust Him. Just wait upon Him there. Don't run from God, run to Him. Don't run from the church in your difficulty, run to it. Run to God in prayer and in His Word. Even the place of your failures and our failures, He is there, right? Emmanuel. Did He step into a perfect world or a broken world? Come on, church. What does Christmas mean? Come on now. Did He step into a perfect world or a broken world? Listen, the message of the gospel is He invades the darkness. He steps into our failure. He brings grace. So trust Him, man. Wait upon Him there. Oh, He is so much bigger than our circumstance. He's greater than our circumstance. But also, secondly today, why should we trust in Him? Because Christ gives strength in my weakness, doesn't He? Strength. That's ultimately what we need. We need our faith strengthened. Our heart strengthened. And Scripture says that when we wait upon the Lord, we are strengthened by His grace. We are strengthened by His Spirit. He says here that those who wait upon the Lord, right? Don't lag behind God, but don't get ahead of Him either. Just walk right in step with Him. Those who wait upon the Lord, yield to Him, renew their strength. That word renew is... It literally translates exchange in the original language. That's something we do at Christmas time, isn't it? Exchange stuff, right? So the day after Christmas, did you realize the day after Christmas is like the second or third highest shopping day of the year? The day after Christmas? Have you ever gotten something that you didn't like at Christmas time? You want to take it back? Come on, fess up today. How about socks and underwear? Every dad in the room said, bless God, quit giving me socks and underwear in Jesus' name, right? I know my underwear, I know they are spiritual. They are holy, right? Literally and spiritually. They are holy to me, okay? I have worn them for a long time. So, you know, socks and underwear, right? What about a bathroom scale? Come on, ladies in the room especially, right? Don't you dare give me no scale, weight scale at Christmas time. BB guns, right? Right now, I've got a little pinhole. I got a little pinhole in one of my little windows down off my basement because one of my boys decided it'd be fun to shoot a BB through my window. Right? BB guns. You'll shoot your... Come on now. Your eye out. It's Christmas. Got to say it. Right? You'll shoot your eye out. You think about some of the crazy gifts. Stuff that doesn't fit right, right? That's what we usually take back. Maybe somebody buys you a shirt or some pants or something to wear and it doesn't fit right, so you got to take it back. And what he's saying here is, in the same kind of way, listen to me, the world gives crappy gifts. Come on, somebody. Satan and this old world gives crappy gifts. Listen, the ways of the world are junk. The wisdom of this world, if you follow after all this political correctness and inclusion junk of this society, you're going to have an infinitely more broken life than you've got even right now if you don't know Jesus. The world gives us all this junk. And Jesus says, listen, you can bring all your junk and exchange it. That's what salvation is, isn't it? The great exchange. And we can exchange all of our sin for His salvation. All my failures for His forgiveness. All my brokenness for His blessedness. I can exchange it all. All my pain and my hurt, anxiety for His comfort and His peace. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what knowing Jesus is all about. So wait upon Him, gain new strength. He gives strength in our weakness. Why would God allow this stuff to continue in my life that's so hard? Because it's only in our weakness that we recognize His strength, that He is strong, right? He gives us strength in our weakness. And it says here that when we get strength from the Lord, three things happen. First of all, we rise, right? Mount up with wings like eagles, man. Fly. Over all that stuff of life, Rise up, man. We run, it says here, we run and don't grow weary. So we run the marathon of life with endurance. And we don't like fall down, just wore out at the finish line. No, when you know Jesus and you're relying upon Him, man, you sprint through the finish line. You run and not weary. And then also, we become reliable. He says you walk and you don't faint. We rise, we run, and we become reliable, walking. In fact, I would argue today that it's a whole lot easier to rise above an event, a negative event in your life, than it is to just walk one day at a time, faithful to the Lord through the difficult stuff of life, isn't it? When God works a miracle, and He does, He's a miraculous God, He gives breakthrough all the time, He does. But when God gives a breakthrough over an event in your life, that's a lot easier than just staying faithful through the difficulty of everyday life. Just obeying God in it. But that's what happens when we wait upon the Lord, man. He renews our strength. Church, it's time. Listen to me. God wants us to rise. To rise above all that negative, bitter, critical junk of life that marks our culture. All the divisiveness and the anger and the vitriol and the excuses and the complaints and all that stuff. He wants us to rise like eagles. Two types of people in life. There's chickens and there's eagles. Now, we have a certain connotation with that word chicken, right? So let me explain. Yeah, there are those who run from danger, that idea. But there's also, you think about like chickens, right? What do? They're all in the low stuff, man. Pecking the stuff off the ground. Can't fly very high or very far. They run around in this coop or this, you know, this group of chickens who, man, it's just constant frenzy of life. But eagles, what do? Soar above it all. Perched high in a tree or atop some mountain somewhere, man, just looking down on all the stuff going on. Strong enough, listen, young people especially, strong enough to fly alone, if that's what it means, if that's what it takes. Strong enough in the gospel to say, I'm not hanging out with the chickens, man. That's not what I do. I'm not better than them per se, but man, I'm going to trust God. Up here is where it's awesome. Up here is the view. That's incredible. And so the moral of the story is, right, be an eagle, not a chicken. Man, wait on God. Rest in Him. Quit pecking. This is so good if you'll get it today. There's so many children of God just pecking around in all the negative, critical, bitter junk of life. And what Isaiah is saying here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he's saying, listen, when you wait on God, He lifts you above all that. You don't live the low life. You live that high life, full of the peace of God and the joy of God, flying in His righteousness and strength. So wait, church, wait upon the Lord. Rest in Him.